Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Happy Friday. It's May 19th, 2023. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on Twitter at G_Kuhn71, former Memphis Tigers offensive lineman. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That's Connor Dunning on Twitter at CDunning929. Connor, how we doing?
I'm doing great.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I am, I'm obvious I've recovered, but I stayed up last night for the sixth longest game in NHL history. Hurricanes, Panthers. My guy Matt Tkachuk, shout out Chaminade High School in St. Louis, Missouri, gets the winner. I did get this. Placed a pregame wager, money line, on the Florida Panthers and watched. Obviously, I skipped out on like the second period, but I watched first period and then from the third period on. Started at 7, ended around 12:45. But I ended up getting my win. So there is that. So, hey, it's a good Friday. It's a good Friday. We have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 ESPN. And yours truly. We're going to talk about Western Conference Finals Game 2. Should the Lakers still feel good about their situation despite being down 0-2? I was told after Game 1 they should feel great. I'll address that in just a moment. We'll talk Eastern Conference Finals. Game 2 will be on the way tonight. More Ja news. Lil Wayne, Dwayne Carter, had actually, and you know, for the millennial generation, I think a lot of people latch on to what he has to say. He had actually a really relatively enlightening thing to say about Ja and where he comes from and all of the assumptions made about Ja throughout the entire process of him being in trouble with the NBA. We still have a suspension we're waiting on. But he had a very, very interesting quote that he made with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson on their podcast that I really want to get to at some point throughout the show. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins, 5 o'clock from the Jeff Calkins Show and the Daily Memphian, 6 o'clock. We're going to get you some Preakness bets. We're going to get you some NBA Conference Finals bets. We're going to get you everything with Alan Bell at 6 o'clock, CBS Sportsline and CBS Sports Digital. He is the executive producer of their betting and gambling show on CBS, The Early Edge. Also, Tigers have a kicker. Did you see that? We talked with Jeff about that yesterday.
I did see.
Tigers have a kicker. That's good. Good news.
Always good.
I'll tell you who it is. I'll tell you his history. And I'll discuss that around 5:30, as well as talked about this yesterday, UConn to the Big 12. Apparently, Brett Yormark has been on campus at UConn. So, wheels may be spinning. And I still find it just as ridiculous. But we'll pop into that. I do have to start the show on a little bit of somber news. Jim Brown, a just legendary figure in football. Legendary. NFL champion, 3-time most valuable player. He was the rookie of the year, 8-time first-team All-Pro. He was a second-team All-Pro. He was 9-time Pro Bowler, rushing yards leader 8 different times, rushing touchdown leader 5 different times. Was on the All-Decade team. He was voted College Football 150's greatest college football player of all time in 2020. He's passed away at the age of 87. And I saw Bomani Jones put this out there. You know, there's been trials and tribulations throughout Jim Brown's storied career on and off the field. But he was a great activist. He was a great football player. Bomani Jones basically said, don't put out a tweet, don't put out a blurb about Jim Brown and his legacy. I don't think you can really encompass who he was as a person, who he was as a player, the misgivings, the good deeds, everything else. You can't do that in a tweet. You can't do that in a blurb. And I completely agree with Bomani, but absolutely rest in peace to Jim Brown today. 87 years old, he passes away. We're gonna be missing a good one.
Absolutely. I mean, he's all-time legend on and off the field, like you talked about. Also, one of the best B-movie actors of all time.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Incredible.
Actor. What do you think about his acting back in the day? Fantastic. Why not?
I mean, they're fun watches.
Yeah. We've gotten away in a lot of ways, and I think there's some guys that still can make it happen. But the celebrity sports star actor is sort of a thing of the past in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mostly.
LeBron, Space Jam 2, didn't do it for me. Just didn't.
Space Jam 2 is not a very good
movie.
No,
who is good? Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards can really get something going. In Hustle.
He was great.
He was great with Adam Sandler, but we've gotten away from
Brom was okay in Trainwreck, yeah. But that was a while ago.
Yeah. We'll see if somebody can step. I think Anthony Edwards could probably play other roles.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a lead guy, but he was damn good in Hustle with Adam Sandler. But
I mean,
he was
Steven Adams but it's is kind great of funny. As Aquaman. Very good
You're
in
right.
Dune.
What was I going to say? The Anthony Edwards, though, he was basically playing himself in Hustle, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was playing himself, trash-talking number one overall pick. Yeah, it's who he is. Now, last night, Nuggets take a 2-0 lead, win 108-103. Behind a fourth quarter that featured 7 threes and from the Nuggets and 23 points from Jamal Murray. And I'm gonna ask this question again. Should the Lakers feel good about where they're at? Down 0-2. After game one, that's all I heard. That's all anyone could say. Oh, they cut it to 3 in the fourth quarter, even though the Nuggets shot 15 for 32. No one's competed against the Nuggets like that. In Ball Arena in Denver. No one's been able to do that in that fashion. Now they're down 0-2. Should they still feel good? Hell no, they shouldn't. Absolutely not. In the end of the day, the 0-1 deficit was enough. 0-2 going back to the crypt. Can they get it to 2-2? Sure, yeah. I don't doubt that. They haven't lost at home, neither of the Nuggets. But at the same time, all of these thoughts about Rui on Jokic and oh, those 6 possessions, they mean the world. The Lakers figured something out. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. In the end of the day, Jokic, he was 23, 17, and 12 last night, had another triple-double. You cannot just simply look at 6 possessions in a playoff series, in one game, in one quarter, and try to say that the series itself will hinge on that. It's insane. To think about that. Now, I first couple thoughts as the game started. Rui Hachimura he's been phenomenal, man. He's been great. And with that, I can't help but think the Wizards completely bailed out the Lakers, right? Trading Kendrick Nunn and second rounders. I think it was 3 second rounders for Rui. That's a bailout. I don't care. Like, second rounders don't mean anything. I don't want anyone to say, well, the value ended up. No, it did not get matched. Rui's a better player than Kendrick Nunn, and those second-rounders mean nothing to the Lakers. They bailed him out. Also, looking back at the Grizzlies' plan in Game 1 to sort of let Rui cook, hindsight 2020, probably not the best thing they could have done in that situation. He had 21 last night. He started the game 6-for-6 from the field. He ended 8-for-10. He's shooting the 3 ball well. He's been great, but ultimately, the Lakers lose because AD was 4-for-15 offensively. LeBron is 0-for-10 from 3 in this series. D'Angelo Russell is, okay, offensively, you look at his numbers, he had 10 points, 3-for-8, 1-for-5 from 3. They're not great, but his defensive presence, it's just, he is unplayable right now, and I don't know what that means. Like, do you give Lonnie Walker some time? I'll talk about that in a second. Do you give Dennis Schroeder more time, even though he was bad on the offensive end, but he tries on the defensive end at the very least? You know, what do you do with that? But I all that being said, I see an insane amount of people talking about, and I shouldn't be surprised by this, but every year, seemingly, that we get into a situation where LeBron is deep in a playoff run, we get people blaming losses on him as if he was the main culprit for why the Lakers lost last night. He's taking far too much heat for what he did last night. Yeah, he had three bunnies and a dunk that he slipped out of his hands. He had some issues there. He hadn't hit a three. But if we're trying to blame last night's misgivings on LeBron, you're insane. Like, what, when we get to these conversations about where LeBron is in his career and has he fallen off, of course he has. He's 38 years old. When you look throughout the history of NBA basketball, though, he is the best 38-year-old basketball player the NBA has ever seen. I've seen a lot of comparisons made this week, and I think they're pretty apt to bring up. LeBron so far in the playoffs is a 24-point score, 10 rebounds a game, and 6 assists. You know who that sort of mimics to a certain extent? And by the way, 50% from the field. You know who that mimics? He plays for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown. 23 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He actually does better in the rebound and assist category at 53% shooting. At 38 years old, LeBron is Jaylen Brown in the playoffs. Like, think about that. Yet we come here every day and we consistently, like, when the Lakers fall off and LeBron may not have his best shooting night in the world, he was still 9 for 19 from the field, which I don't think's all that much to sneeze at. Only had 3 turnovers, had 4 steals, 2 blocks. When we look at what LeBron was able to do last night, yeah, it wasn't his best game. But the amount of people putting the onus completely on him is ridiculous. And it always comes back to me, the standard that this guy gets held to, even at 38 years old in year 20. Get a grip. It's insane what we do to try to tear this guy down. And all this said, I don't think he necessarily helped the Lakers' case all that much last night with some of the issues he had, shooting and some of the bunnies he blew. But also, at the same time, you have everybody else on that floor outside of Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura laying eggs. Anthony Davis was 4 for 15 from the field. Jared Vanderbilt gives you nothing on the offensive end. D'Angelo Russell was awful on both ends. Dennis Schroeder couldn't do anything offensively. I get tired of the constant pressure and pointing at LeBron James when, in the end of the day, if we're talking about a 38-year-old in the Western Conference Finals and his team loses and he had 22, 9, 10, 4 steals and 2 blocks. If Anthony Davis would have had that same stat line last night, and let's say you switch the roles, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, LeBron James would have gotten killed, and they would have talked about Anthony Davis being the only reason the Lakers were able to compete in that game. I just find it tiring. And I know, Connor, you probably do too.
I'm exhausted by every LeBron conversation ever. I've been way over the GOAT conversations and all that for a long time. It's silly because having to reevaluate his legacy after every single game, it's like, what are we doing here? I think the biggest thing that bothers me about last night is, one, the Nuggets won that game. I don't like that people are saying that the Lakers gave it away or they lost it, they blew it, da-da-da-da. No, the Nuggets won that game. The Nuggets won. The Nuggets are a very good basketball team. Nikola Jokic might be the best player in the world. They deserve respect. Put some respect on their name. Jamal Murray had an amazing fourth quarter, but he had that fourth quarter because the Nuggets figured out the Lakers' defense, and they were throwing him open. They were running plays for him. It was brilliant. They were using Jokic as a decoy, which is crazy to think about. But all of that being said, too, like, LeBron played maybe the best defensive game he's had all playoffs last night. And people are just acting like that didn't happen.
Yep.
And that is, to me, a result of people not watching these games. Then they go on national television and they talk about them and they have no idea what they're talking about. And it drives me insane. The narratives today have been crazy. Why are we leading shows with what does this mean about LeBron's legacy? The Nuggets are up 2-0. Talk about the Nuggets. Talk about what the Nuggets did.
And Michael Malone has a good point when he brings up all that. I hopefully we can get some sound here in a second. But I look at AD, bad offensive player last night. I look at Dennis Schroeder. Terrible offensively. Decent, he worked defensively. But D'Angelo Russell, who they brought in to be a lead guard, to facilitate things, to make things happen, he's minus 41 in two games, 12% from three. And we're blaming LeBron James. Come on. Be real with yourself every once in a while. It's just, it's so tiring, it's exhausting. And I thought last night, changing subjects here, the Lakers did a decent job on Nikola Jokic. I thought they did a decent job, but still 23, 17, and 12. I think at this point you just throw as many looks, different looks at him as you can. Doubling him up does not work. Singling him does not work. Blitzing him does not work.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Making him give up the ball does not work. My opinion at this point with Jokic, if you're the Lakers, you're coming back home. Obviously, I think some of your role players will start to step up. But your best plan: switch looks throughout the game, and compete and rebound. That's it. There's nothing special to it. You just got to try to keep him off balance and then rebound and end possessions. When he gets some of those offensive boards, it's insane. If you double, he finds his teammates. If you single, he shoots about 65% at the rim on his baby hook in getting there. If you front him and deny the ball, he's in good spots for offensive rebounds, and he extends possessions. He's truly, and it's funny to think about a guy that's 7 foot, 280 pounds, and maybe not the most athletic guy in the world, doesn't run the floor all that well. He's truly unguardable. There's nothing you can do. The best you can do is the best you can do. Just throw whatever you can at him. If you need to blitz him one possession, blitz him one possession. If you think you could single cover him and use AD as a roamer, do that. If AD at the end of games needs to get on him, do that. You just need to try to confuse him and try to keep him off balance because he is who he is. He's an MVP. It's very simple. It's very simple. Also, we were talking about overreactions yesterday, and after game one, I brought it up. Should the Lakers still feel good about an 0-2 match, a 0-2 deficit as opposed to the 0-1 where everybody said they should feel good about it? Another reason not to overreact and overcorrect your post-game one takes, post-game two takes, this is per Mark Spears and ESPN Stats and Info. NBA teams have a 6-56 series record all time when trailing a conference finals 2-0. Two of the six series wins were by LeBron James in 07 and 2018. It could very well be 2-2. Lakers are still in this series. You just have to let it play out. You cannot have these overarching takes. You can't say, oh, this team has the edge, this team has the edge, based on six possessions, based on one quarter, based on even a game. Let the thing play out. This is a good series. Let's let it be a good series. Now, Michael Malone, I love all this. Michael Malone and the Nuggets are talking spicy, man. They're talking spicy. This was Michael Malone after the game when he was sort of talking about the hypocrisy of the Nuggets being up 1-0, yet all the focus was on the Lakers having figured out the series.
A lot of our guys, to be honest, they may not admit this or not. You know, you win game one of the playoffs, and all everybody talked about was the Lakers. Let's be honest. That was a national narrative was, hey, the Lakers are fine. They're down 1-0, but they figured something out. No one talked about Nikola just had a historic performance. He's got 13 triple-doubles now, third all-time. What he's doing is just incredible, but the narrative wasn't about the Nuggets. The narrative wasn't about Nikola. The narrative is about the Lakers and their adjustments. So, you know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it, and you come back, and you know what? We're going to go up 2-0.
Yeah, the trash being talked toward the Lakers in this playoff run has been phenomenal. Now, it's usually worked against the opposition, but hey, I like Michael Malone's tone. He's sticking up for his team, and he has every right to. He's up 2-0. The Nuggets have played really well at home, and they have put all of the stupid should the Lakers feel good narratives to bed, like me and Connor did yesterday right here on these airwaves. I respect it. I think it's good for the game when people talk like this in pressers. It adds more intrigue. It adds more to the storyline of the series.
I don't even think he was necessarily talking to the Lakers either. It really sounded to me like he was talking to the people making
national
the narratives.
Media. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was fantastic. The New York came out of Malone during that comment. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. But no, to your point, man, like, you know, basketball is a really complicated sport. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's simple. The Lakers had three guys show up on offense last night, and then they ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. LeBron in the fourth quarter this postseason has not been LeBron. You know, and when you're trying to rely on a 38-year-old in high altitude, by the way,
you in the altitude.
It has yet to fail me. They haven't lost a game at home
yet. It's true. I'll give you
that. We've seen teams run out of gas. You can't lean on a 38-year-old to get it done in high altitude when he's playing the best defensive game. He played 40 minutes last night. AD didn't show up. Jared Vanderbilt didn't show up. D'Angelo Russell was a traffic cone. That's why they lost the game last night.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets stayed consistent. They stayed consistent. They stayed with their game plan. They knew that it was going to work, and they just grinded them down eventually. And like you said, Jokic is going to make things happen. It's weird because I feel like when people watch Jokic, they're like, this is unbelievable. But he never gets enough credit for his basketball IQ. He's always ahead of the defense. He's very much like LeBron in that case. He always knows the right play to make, and he always makes it correct. Like, it's Jamal Murray. He was throwing him open. He was throwing him open so many times.
The only thing I'll push back on is I think in the fourth quarter, 7 threes got knocked down, and Michael Porter Jr. had an open look. Bruce Brown had an open look to start the fourth quarter. But I think it was 5 threes that Jamal Murray hit. I almost feel like you just have to tip your cap if you're the Lakers to some of those. Step back on AD. He was just knocking down contested shots. Most of them were contested. Jamal Murray was great in that fourth quarter, and he was not good leading up to that. He was not a good player.
He was like what? Like he shot terribly until the fourth quarter. But they stuck to the game plan. They knew it was going to work eventually, and I think the Nuggets just don't panic. They're such a good basketball team.
They are. They're well put together. And also, sidebar, is Bruce Brown not the guy, like, he's the guy in gym. He plays basketball like he's the guy in gym class that goes way too hard all the time.
Yes, very
like
much so.
He plays basketball like a gym class hero, and I love it. I love it. He has an edge that he brings off the bench, another double-digit scoring game for him, 12 points. And this was a guy that I feel like a lot of people were convinced wasn't a good basketball player.
He
like,
was such a good pickup.
It was a great – under $7 million a year for Bruce Brown, and he's giving you – he gave you 37 minutes last night, 12 points. Well, didn't turn the ball over defensively. He's a hound on the perimeter. He's knocking down three-point shots.
He made D'Angelo Russell's life hell.
Yes, and like also like there's the scrapping and clawing from him, like getting on the ground, going and grabbing loose balls and doing whatever he can. He brings an edge to that team that I think they – really hit on this offseason. I was a doubter of that move. I was a doubter of, okay, is Bruce Brown really going to make the difference and get them over the hump in the Western Conference? It feels like he is that type of guy.
Yeah, and you know, KCP wasn't bad last night, but he got in foul trouble early, and he kind of had it on the offensive end, but wasn't great defensively, so Malone went with Brown. And he said, okay, let's throw Brown in there, and let's give him an extended run, and it worked. Having those two guys be able to come in, if one guy isn't necessarily on 100% on a night is so valuable for the Nuggets. I just think that they're such a well-constructed team. They never panic. They run through Jokic, and everybody is just ready for their moment every single time. Jamal Murray, he plays with a level of confidence, even when he's not shooting well, that you just know that it's eventually going to turn that corner and he's going to come up in a big moment. And I really did think that Michael Porter Jr. had a very, very good game last night. Like 16-7-7 was, or 16-7-3 is exactly what they needed from him. Exactly. He played good defense on Anthony Davis and the moments that he got there. I just feel like that they're not making Jokic work.
Here's what you'll see, though, with Michael Porter Jr. as his transitions to L.A. That, what was he from three last night, 4-for-7? That turns to 2-for-7 or 1-for-7. That's just usually what is sure. Sort of him. But I do think they have enough guys that can take their shooting on the road. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's been in these situations. Nikola Jokic keeps talking about, I mean, he gets asked the question every damn postgame about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but he always says he's a champion. He's been around. He doesn't get affected by anything going on the outside. Aaron Gordon, I think, can take some of his stuff on the road. Bruce Brown has the edge to take his stuff on the road. I like this Nuggets team. I picked them in 7. I think it may get over earlier than that, but we'll see how the Lakers respond at home. That's what you have to see. Can D'Angelo Russell be playable? Is my probably like more than anything else. That's probably my biggest question. They need that offense. If they don't have it, getting into a game with the Nuggets and how efficient they can be on the offensive end, half court, running, doing all they do, that's a recipe for disaster. And Austin Reeves and Rui have been great, but I don't know about the consistency game. Rui's been great, I guess, too, but the consistency game to game, I have a couple questions about. And then AD, we've had this conversation earlier in the playoffs. Game on, game off, game on, game off. Last night was a game off after having 40-10. You sort of know that game to game he can disappear. Last night was a disappearing at 4-for-15. 4-for-15. But ultimately, should the Lakers still feel good? No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Now let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back from the break, Eastern Conference Finals. Game 2 is on the way. We'll break that down. We'll preview it. And we'll have more with the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me here. All you want to do is use me.
I gotta say, last night I had a really cool, fun experience. I was down in Whitehaven. I was working with Memphis Little League, and a really good friend, Kerry Cobb, runs Memphis Little League, tries to get kids in the city involved in baseball growing up. And I learned a lot of stuff. I mean, growing up through T-ball, coach pitch, pitching machine, off into high school when I was playing as well through baseball. And it was cool to see people that care genuinely about trying to get young kids involved in baseball and in sports. I was flipping burgers and everything. Got some hot dogs, some smoked sausages there on the grill for everybody. But it was cool to get down there in Whitehaven and see what's going on. And obviously this is complete free plug here, but I have to put it out there. They need support. They need people to come help out. But MemphisLittleLeague.com, go check out what they're doing. Kerry Cobb does a great job. Former Tiger, by the way. Blocking tight end, Mr. 22 personnel. Get him on that goal line. He was a blocking tight end at about 260 in his college days at the University of Memphis. Go to MemphisLittleLeague.com and check that out, because it was really a cool experience, and they need help. They need hands on deck, and if people can offer some of their time like I did last night, that's certainly something that they would fully appreciate. Now, we have Eastern Conference Finals, game two tonight. And I think a lot less has been made about this series than the Western Conference series, because we're talking about the Lakers being involved. But the Celtics being down 1-0, I can't really fathom how this is really a discussion point that we're having. The Celtics, from a talent perspective, are the most talented team left in these playoffs. I can say that, and I feel very confident and saying that. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, probably the best wing pairing left in the NBA playoffs, in these conference finals. Both all NBA performers. Al Horford, who's been around forever. Robert Williams, really good paint protector. Marcus Smart, who's defensive player of the year last year. Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, guys they brought in to handle the ball and have been really good guards elsewhere with the Spurs, with the Pacers, Malcolm Brogdon with the Pacers, and then with the Spurs, Derek White. But yet they're down 1-0 because of nothing other to me, Connor, than just an edge and intensity about them. They have to get punched in the face before they make a move. And I expect them to respond tonight that the line is massive. But it's insane to think the Celtics, with what people would try to term as youth, it's not that anymore. 24-year-old Jason Tatum, 26-year-old Jaylen Brown, they have to move in the right direction. They just consistently have lacked intensity in games, and they have to get hit in the mouth before they respond. It's a frustrating thing, and we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, you hope tonight that they come out and they play in the first quarter like they've had to in the second halves recently. It's just been so interesting. It's been almost comparable to AD's playoffs in a weird way, but almost as an entire team. Like, one game will be on, one game will be off, one game will be on, one game will be off. And like you said, it just feels like that they don't, I guess, I don't, care is not the right word, but like they're just not as locked in until they absolutely have to be. And it's like until the final moment that they have a chance, all of a sudden they wake up. And, you know, you just wish that wasn't what it was, because the Heat are the type of team where they're going to come out and
they've
stared death in the eyes and said, no, thank you.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They walk through the valley of the shadow of death and they fear no evil. That's what the Heat are right now.
Death fears the Heat.
It is a team with substantially more talent in the Celtics with a lack of edge versus a team with just about, I mean, the island of misfit toys, as you put it yesterday, and just all edge. I like this matchup for that, but it continues to be frustrating to see Jason Tatum fall short in certain situations and not having a shot in the fourth quarter the other night. I think they'll change it around. I think it's potential for a cover tonight. It's 9.5, by the way.
It's a big number.
And I'm sure you'll have your pick later as we get to big game tonight, but I expect them to still win the series. But
I do too.
They just leave so much up to chance. They leave so much up to chance, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It's just when you're playing a team like the Heat, you cannot take a moment off, because they're not inevitable, but they're unrelenting.
Yes.
They're not going to stop running directly at you.
Yes. Did you hear Eric Spoelstra talking about the play-in?
Yeah, he called it the best thing that's happened to the NBA.
I do know the play-in helped. He said these are for less there are less teams tanking. Everyone was fighting for it those last 2 months. Every game was must-see TV, and that was in both conferences. So I think for the league, that's probably the best thing that's happened in the last decade. I mean, we're getting a case study as to why the play-in matters.
I like the play-in.
We're getting a case study as to why these teams should still be considered. You never know when one of them's going to hit stride and show you what they can do, when their superstars are going to wake up like Jimmy Butler has here in the playoffs. You have no idea. There's a lot of naysayers. There's a lot of people that have really disrespected the plan. I think LeBron, you know, is kind of at the front. He's the face of it. But in the end of the day, the plan has created a more competitive end-of-the-year situation, and you see it right now with the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals with a lead on a team that theoretically they shouldn't have a lead on.
Do you buy the people that complain that the play-in give teams like a run into the playoffs? Because I'm not sure if I buy that. I think this is the first year that we've really seen an eight.
Well, what about the Hawks? You know?
Yeah.
What about the Hawks? They got splattered.
I just don't really buy that.
In the first round. No, yeah. I guess you talk rest versus rust and like a team having a couple games under their belt to be able to.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, they've played more basketball than the team they're about to go play, who's in a protected one or two seed. But at the same time,
it's the playoffs. You're ready no matter what. Be ready.
If it's a one or a two seed, you should still be able to splatter and do what you need to do. Sweep, 5-game series, whatever it is. And we didn't see that this year. The Heat absolutely dismantled the Bucks limb from limb. And I have appreciated the entire time, but I think a lot of people have had their issues with it. And even when it was announced, I thought it was a good idea for the league. I thought it was a good idea.
The games have been fun. The actual play-in games have been great.
We've seen it with the Grizzlies, too.
Yeah.
Grizzlies were able to hop up over top of the Warriors and get into the playoffs when they probably shouldn't have been that year.
Yeah,
when they wouldn't
have
been
normally.
People like
to forget that, don't they, when they talk about the Warriors' playoff success. The play-in doesn't count. Why? It did.
Yeah,
why the playoffs.
Why doesn't it? Why doesn't it? Now, on the Grizzlies front, there's been a lot made of John Morant. We get that. And we know what happened on Sunday. I don't have to keep rehashing him, flashing a gun on Instagram Live. But a lot of people have spoke up on it. I don't think there's a lot of people that have left a take untweeted or a take unsaid when they're on their various podcasts. We've said a lot about it. There's been a lot of speculation back and forth. But one of the voices, one of the voices of the generation, man. And I know a lot of people will shoot this down, especially that are older, but if you're a millennial like me and Connor, you know what Lil Wayne and some of the knowledge he can drop. But he was on with Matt Barnes and with Steven Jackson on their podcast, and he said some interesting things. I thought they were relatively enlightening considering the situation that's upon us. And we'll play that on the other side. I want to break it down. I really want to break it down right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM. Yeah.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you're a whiskey sipper, whiskey lover like me, I have a perfect drink for you this weekend while you watch the NBA playoffs, while you watch the Preakness, the PGA Championship. That would be Old Dominic Tennessee Whiskey, made right here in the heart of downtown Memphis. It is the first whiskey to be distilled, barreled, aged, and bottled in Memphis since Prohibition. So take off that Tennessee Whiskey moniker. It is Memphis Whiskey. We need to be local with it, but also the flavor is great. That's one thing I really have to get out there for you. They have the bottled and bond. They have the regular. But it is made with maple sugar charcoal distilling, so it's great for sipping. You can have it neat. You can have it on the rocks. You can mix a little water in it. You can mix it with ginger ale. Whatever you want to do with that whiskey, it is good for sipping. It's available now just about everywhere around the area, in Memphis, some places in Arkansas and Mississippi. We're starting to spread out with that Memphis whiskey, but look for that whiskey and all their great products at Old Dominic, at your favorite retailers, or ask for it by name at your favorite locally owned restaurant. And I have to suggest getting down to the distillery, whether you're having a drink at the bar, whether you're just stopping in on a night out to end your night. If you want a tour and tasting, if you're trying to plan a special event, Old Dominic can handle that for you. And I know a lot of people have been down there for weddings and wedding receptions. They have a beautiful rooftop. Lights overhanging, various places to sit. Their rooftop is just gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So if you're having a wedding reception, birthday party, going away party, go to olddominic.com to check out what they have available during the week on the weekends. They fill up relatively fast there. But also, Old Dominic is the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. Look for their new Tennessee whiskey, all their other products in FedEx form. Two different bar locations. Whether you're at a concert, seeing a comedian, going there for a game, they will have two bar locations that you can enjoy their cocktails at. Go to olddominic.com for a tour, to book a tour and tasting, check out their event schedule and everything else. Old Dominic Distillery, come say hi. Now, I saw a story and a tweet yesterday, and I got a kick out of this, and I ended up tweeting it out yesterday with a very smart-ass response. But the headline was, Brett Favre says America was in a, quote, better place when Donald Trump was president. Next, you're going to tell me the sky's blue when it comes to what Brett Favre actually thinks. Of course, do we think he was a Biden voter? Dude, what do we think about Brett Favre?
What do I think about Brett Favre?
No. What do we think Brett Favre? Who do we think Brett? What did we think Brett Favre thought about the president, the former president, and the president of the United States now? I mean, what?
It's
why is this a story that's like written?
It's one of my favorite Bill Burr jokes. It's when he talks about like we need to stop asking obvious questions to like older people because it's like, what did you think they thought?
Exactly.
It's like it was about like when the Duck Dynasty guy was just he said some horrific stuff about LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
And Bill Burr was like, what did you think he thought?
It doesn't make it any better.
A swamp.
It does not make it any better. Don't get it twisted. But what did you think that Brett Favre thought about Donald Trump? My God, good Lord. But that Bill Burr stand-up is
It's incredible. It's good. It's the black and white one. It's amazing.
Yes. And he was talking. I don't really want to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. He talked about Donald Sterling and that whole situation.
He did.
Yeah. And it was part of that same punchline. But it doesn't make it any better.
Ironically, he talks about just don't be on Instagram, which, you know, hey.
Oh, yeah. Well, good transition. Thank you. Thank you, Connor Dunning. Thank you. That's why I need Connor. Now, John Morant, a lot has been said about him all week. And now Lil Wayne, Dwayne Carter. Dwayne Carter spoke up on him. And I actually, like, people will shoot it down and say, well, do we really care what Lil Wayne thinks on this situation? I think that he shed some pretty good light. He was with Steven Jackson and with Matt Barnes on their podcast. We have some expletives we had to bleep out. But this is what he had to say on the John Morant situation.
Like, don't fall into that trap that these people doing on TV saying, because he ain't no thug. Because he ain't in the street. He ain't about that. He ain't no gang. You don't want that. How y'all know? You don't want. Y'all know that boy? Do y'all know that boy? Because I don't. I know him from dunking and jumping. And I only started knowing him when I started paying attention to him around his last year of college. He come from like a town with 3,000 people. Like, what? What y'all expect? Y'all what? Y'all gave him $200 million. I just said a town with 3,000 people. You expect him to be responsible? Now we tripping then.
Mm.
Yeah, now we tripping. We expect him to be, that's magic. Because I could tell you, I come from a real well-raised, beautiful mother, nice, you know what I mean? My mama bust her ass to make sure everything around me was nice. And I still was a knucklehead. I shot myself. You know what I mean? So if you're expecting, and that young man, I could imagine if I played with 3,000 people and I became who I am, boy.
If they
had social media when I was 23, I wouldn't have made it.
Well, I think.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
And if you read through what he's saying, I don't know if there's a full dismissal. There's a little bit of a dismissal of what Ja has done here. But at the same time, he's making the point that needs to be made. Yeah, at the same time, he made an idiotic mistake. He still deserves grace in the end of the day. I think when you look at Ja Morant and his career trajectory, and I've made this point on multiple occasions, there's a lot of assumptions being made about his family life, his friend life, and everything else, and that's fair. And maybe his family and friends need to be better behind the scenes. I would almost certainly say they need to be better behind the scenes. But Ja Morant, in the end of the day, is a 23-year-old who is a two-star recruit going to Murray State. He spent 2 years there. He didn't really have that high sort of basketball view of him. He wasn't in the front pages like his buddy Zion Williamson was. He wasn't consistently out in the media and people putting his name out when he was growing up. So when he got to the Grizzlies, this was his first experience with real fame and real money. And he comes from a town in South Carolina, Dalzell, South Carolina, with 3,000 people in it. Hey, the growing pains, we should have assumed. I think that's what Lil Wayne's getting at. I think that's what Dwayne Carter's getting at. You should have expected some growing pains. Now, Ja needs to change these things, act better, move better, play the game. But at the same time, I think the point that is being made here is that when you have someone that doesn't come from a whole lot, comes from humble beginnings, when they get that first taste, they start to act a little bit different. And they have to learn how to move with that newfound wealth, with that newfound persona. They have to learn how to do it, and Ja needs to get in the process of doing that. But I think grace should be extended to a certain extent.
Agreed. You know, Lil Wayne's a wise guy. He's a wise dude. He really is. And his entire interview with them was fantastic. I highly recommend people go check it out because he was talking about how, you know, Ja just needs to get back to who he is, that these are going to be growing pains. You know, people make dumb decisions when a lot of money shows up all of a sudden when you didn't grow up with it. It can affect your decision-making. And he was just basically saying, you know, this kid, he talks about how I didn't even know who Ja was until the NCAA tournament.
Right.
In the full interview. And right. He's like, and then all of a sudden, he's one of the faces of the NBA. That happened a lot.
That happened just about quickly. Overnight, let's be honest.
It did. I mean, you and I were talking before the show. One game changed his entire life.
Yeah, the NCAA tournament game where he ended with did he have a triple-double in that game?
I can't remember if he had a triple-double.
I believe he had a triple-double
in
that opening game.
Three dunks in there where you were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and he definitely had double-digit assists in that game.
So, like you said, he's saying, let's give this kid some grace. He needs to be better. He needs to get back to who he is, but he also deserves some grace.
Yes, and I do think there's a point to be made about a lot of people, and I've dealt with this, talking with just people who have asked me. You know, my brother, family members have asked me about what I think about the Ja situation, and they have their assumptions about how he was raised and, oh, he's not this, he's not that. I think those assumptions are a little much. I don't think you know exactly how Ja Morant was raised. None of us really do. When he's glorifying what he may glorify tomorrow, what he feels like he needs to carry himself as, growing up, I don't think we're privy to that information. So I think that all the assumptions that have been made throughout this process, I think stay away from them. Conclusion, if we're going overall here, Ja needs to stop making idiotic mistakes, flashing guns on Instagram Live. Move different. Be better. It's that simple. But I think this sort of goes back to the Bill Burr conversation again. When you have a guy that didn't have a high profile, was raised around 3,000 people, was in his town, and you know, you sort of didn't have a high profile coming out of high school. When you get that taste of success, that taste of wealth, things can spiral out of control on you, and you have to learn how to deal with those growing pains along the way. And the best you can do is hope that he can learn. He can learn and find peace with who he is. It's as simple as that, but it's kind of funny. Like Lil Wayne, people will shoot it down, but if you're a millennial, man.
Bars only.
Oh, my gosh. He's the best rapper alive. I don't care what anybody says. Is there an argument? Is there really an argument for anybody else?
Yes, I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Oh, no, I agree with
it. He's up there.
I agree with it.
I don't know if I'd call him the best living.
No, he's,
maybe the best of an era.
I think he's best ever. Because honestly, Lil Wayne brought in not just the rap part of it, not just the lyricism, but he made hits, right? Like, he consistently throughout the 2000s made hits. Whereas, like, I think there's other guys out there, like Eminem's a great rapper. He had his moment, but then after that, I don't know if he necessarily made the amount. Like, his song list does not go near as deep as Lil Wayne.
Oh, Gabe.
It does not. It doesn't come close. It doesn't come close, Connor. I'm sorry.
Best rapper alive, though. Working rapper right now, I'd probably say Kendrick.
Oh, okay. All right. On that note, Jeff Calkins will join next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.